It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
NFL fans, it is time once again for another episode of the annual Fans First Sports Network NFL Mock Draft. Yes, we do one, and all of our affiliates decide for their team who is going to be picked up. No trades, just a straight pick as the draft order is what we know now. In with me, my host for the second year in a row, it's Kevin Smith from the Fans First Sports Network. You know him from The Whip Around and The Call Sheet. You know him from Here We Go, The Steelers Show.
Ah, what's up, Brian? I feel like we've been talking about the draft forever, so I'm happy to do this first and then do it for real on Thursday night. I can't wait.
This is more than the Super Bowl because you have 32 fan bases involved in this whole thing. This is a gift for everybody, isn't it?
You feel as though you're obviously as a fan, everybody's got their favorites that you're rooting for and you want your team to draft this guy, that guy. But this is only part of the process, right? I mean, you get the guy and now you got to develop the guy. And now the guy's got to actually turn into the player everybody hopes that they're going to become. And that's not a fan's work. Obviously, that's the work of the coaching staff of the various teams. But it's the beginning of the journey is the draft. And sometimes it feels like, oh, it's the end of the process. It's just the beginning. And that's what's exciting as well.
And we're going to get started. Pick is in. It is the Chicago Bears, courtesy of Da Bear Claw. Good old Vincent Pace Saunders, good friend of ours, made the pick. And who do we got?
Yeah, no surprise. It's Caleb Williams. And I think that's probably the worst kept secret of the current NFL draft.
Is this guy a can't miss prospect in your eyes?
No, few players coming into the draft are, and there are certainly questions about does Caleb Williams' demeanor and some of the things that he brings from a personality standpoint. Is he going to be able to handle the noise? Is he going to be able to handle the heat when things don't go well? Are the Bears going to be able to develop him effectively? Caleb Williams' potential, however, is through the roof. I mean, Caleb Williams, if the Bears check off all those boxes and Caleb Williams has the demeanor to handle the pressure that comes with being the number one pick in the draft overall, then he could be a superstar. But there are also some potential potholes for him. So I'll be fascinated to see how this all plays out.
All right, Command Time. We have DT, Rix, and Kayla. Check out Command Time. Kevin Smith, are we going quarterback here?
We are. Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU. Interesting that they opted for Daniels over Drake May. This for the Commanders in the actual draft may come down to scheme fit. Who do they like better to fit Cliff Kingsbury's offense? He's an air raid guy, and that's fairly scheme specific. Who do they think in the air raid, man? A lot of timing routes, a lot of getting the ball out quickly. Who do they think will be better at that between Daniels, May, even JJ McCarthy? That'll be fascinating to watch.
All right. The Dome Patrol, not New Orleans, but New Orleans is going to be New England for now. Wesley Coleman makes the next pick, and it is the New England Patriots on the clock. Now they're to the podium, Kevin. Take it away.
So the Patriots are selecting Drake May, the quarterback out of North Carolina. I think Patriots would be pretty happy, I think, if he's there at three, because like you said at the beginning of the show, there was some talk a little earlier that maybe he could even wind up being the number one overall guy. Drake May's got Josh Allen vibes at his best. At his worst, he's got early career Brett Favre vibes in that he is a gunslinger type who kind of tries to make every play. He got away with some stuff at North Carolina that he won't be able to get away with in the NFL. So if the Patriots can sort of rein him in and harness the best of him without allowing him to freelance too much, he could be a heck of a player.
All right, let's move on. Number four, it's Cardinals update here on the Fans First Sports Network. Our good friend Jesus Garcia, and does he break the quarterback string, Kevin Smith?
Indeed, he does, and he does so by nabbing the guy I think is the most pro-ready skill player in the draft, and that is Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State. I think that if you're a Cardinals fan, shout out to my sister who lives in Tempe and is a huge Cardinals fan, that they'll be thrilled with Marvin Harrison Jr. Again, man, I think he's going to step into their lineup from day one and be a huge impact player.
Could he be the second coming 20 years later of Larry Fitzgerald?
If he winds up being the second coming of Marvin Harrison Sr., I think people will, in Arizona will be thrilled. He has that sort of same polished professionalism that Larry Fitzgerald brought to the field. He's a great route runner. He's got great body control, tremendous hands, but the demeanor is similar, right? I mean, he handles himself like a professional athlete. And I think that will allow him to get on the field right away and make a huge impact.
All right, the pick is in for the Los Angeles Chargers. Jim Harbaugh's first draft in drafting for Harbaugh is the lightning round here on Fans First Sports Network. It is Garrett Sisti. Kevin Smith, what do we got?
Yeah, so they go with Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU. Certainly makes sense for the Chargers. I mean, they moved on from Keenan Allen and Mike Williams this offseason, so they got a huge need at wide receiver. It'll be fascinating to see in real time, though, if Jim Harbaugh not give in to his urge to take a big lineman. I want you to think about Harbaugh's mentality, and they want to play. He likes playing smash mouth ball, and he likes loading up with the big guys up front. So Nabers will be a great pick for the Chargers, pairing him with Justin Herbert. It'd be interesting to see, however, if given any lineman that they want, given the fact that no lineman has come off the board, if the Chargers can resist.
The New York Football Giants are next. We went three quarterbacks. Now, two wide receivers in a row with pick number six. Is it another wide receiver?
Yeah, let's make it three in a row. The pick is Roma Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington, another guy who has a fairly complete game for a young man. He had an obviously tremendously productive career at Washington, can really stretch the field. He's got a great combination of size and speed. It's incredible, man. How many of these receivers now are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and are running in the low 4.4s, even the high 4.3s? So Odunze is a field stretcher and a guy who, I don't know what's going to happen there with Daniel Jones in New York, but he could certainly use a weapon like Odunze.
Making that pick a giant take, Josh Solomon and Alex Norian. So check out those guys here at FFSN. We are going to go now to Tennessee for our next pick.
Yeah, so the Tennessee Titans are selecting a guy who feels like he was, born to be a Tennessee Titan, and that is Joe Alt, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, arguably the best lineman overall in the draft. And I think in other drafts where there weren't so many needs for skill players at the top, Joe Alt is a guy that could go number one or number two overall because he's that much of an impact player. He's going to be like Marvin Harrison. He's going to be entrenched as the starting left tackle. He's going to step on the field right away on day one and become a cornerstone of the line in Tennessee going forward.
That pick was made by Home Run Throwback. So Jimmy Morris, thank you so much. The big lineman from Notre Dame. Good stuff. All right, let's go down south. The Atlanta Falcons are on the clock. Scott Kennedy and the Falcons podcast making this pick. Kevin, let's do it.
Yeah, so the Falcons going with Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama, first defensive player off the board. Interesting, you get to pick number eight and there hasn't been a defensive player taken yet. Atlanta's got a big need for an edge rusher that they weren't really able to get after the quarterback very well last year. The interesting question is whether or not Turner is the best edge rusher in the draft. Is he the guy that they prefer, or are they going to go for one of the other edge rushers available? But he seems to be the consensus number one. And so player fitting need here makes sense for Atlanta.
Chicago Bears back on the clock at number 9, and this is the pick that they got for trading the number 1 pick in last year's draft to the Carolina Panthers. Pay Saunders is back from the Bear Claw. They got a quarterback with the first pick. Do they give him a weapon, Kevin?
Yes, they do. Tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Man, if Chicago comes away with Caleb Williams and Brock Bowers in the first 9 picks of the draft, they will have vastly improved their team. The Bears have the opportunity to get sneaky good in a hurry. They really have done some work this offseason. Obviously, it'll depend on how quickly and effectively they can develop Caleb Williams, but they're not going to have a whole lot of development with Brock Bowers. He's been the best tight end in football for the last 2 years. The only thing that could make you worry a little bit is over the last 10 years, tight ends have had the worst success rate in terms of the drafting them and that translating into NFL success of any position group. I think Bowers is about as sure thing as there is in the draft, but his position group has not fared well. I suspect he'll be just fine, however.
Who's an NFL comparison for Brock Bowers? Is it a Travis Kelce?
He's probably maybe a guy that has a George Kittle vibe to me. That might be his comp. He's got some toughness. He can play in line if you need him to. I think he's maybe the best tight end prospect to come out in years.
Let's go back to Gotham or New Jersey, whatever you want to call it. It is the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Sometimes they are the New York M-E-S-S, mess, mess, mess. What do you think about this pick at number 10? This is the Jet Life, and Dan Burnham made this pick for us here at the Fans First Sports Network.
Yeah, I think Jets fans are going to like this guy. Talis Fuaga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State, he is a monster. He's a huge man, 6'7 and 335 pounds, but has really great feet. And obviously with Aaron Rodgers, if he can, you know, not get hurt while not being touched, you know, they want to keep him as clean as possible, and this guy will help for sure. The Jets last year in the draft had their heart set on Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. And then the Steelers jumped up over them in round 1 to nab Jones. And the Jets, I don't know if they ever recovered, man. So they shouldn't have such problems this year. There's going to be a bunch of offensive tackles available when they pick. And I think Fuaga is probably, other than Joe Alt, the best of the bunch.
All right, number 11. This is the first pick of the draft that I don't think is going to be true, because I think there would be trades up to get this next guy. David Stefano, our very good friend, if you remember last year's draft, he announced the picks on our draft from the First and Skull Network. He makes a pick, and he ran up to the podium with this one, Kevin.
Yeah, first of all, David Stefano, I would listen to him, you know, read like instruction manuals on, you know, how to put things together. He's got that James Earl Jones type booming voice. The Vikings, if they're going to get J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan, who we have right here, in real time, they're going to have to go up to get him. To me, J.J. McCarthy, the whole draft, I believe, will pivot on whichever team takes him. Because, I mean, heck, one of those teams at the top, those first three teams could take McCarthy, right? He's in that conversation to be a top 3 pick among Chicago, Washington, New England. If he's not, then with both Minnesota needing a quarterback and Denver needing a quarterback, and even maybe talk that the Giants could possibly take a quarterback at number 6, McCarthy's name is going to be a hot one on Thursday night. And so I think the draft will pivot with whomever takes him. But in our draft, with no trades, yeah, the Vikings run to the podium to get him.
Would you take pleasure, Kevin, if we suggested to Jeff Hartman that we have our FFSN contributors go ahead and make trades in this draft, just watching his head explode?
Yeah, the chaos that would ensue would probably be too much for Jeff, yes.
And great job by Jeff for corralling 32 content creators to go ahead and get this done in such a short bit of time. All right, it is time for the 12th pick of the draft. A very disappointed Mile High Broncos podcast. I'm sure they wanted J.J. McCarthy. They would have made the trade. They told us they would have. Jess Place and Tim Lynch made this pick. And who did they go for?
Yeah, so Denver was pretty bad on defense for long stretches last year. They go for Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State. Certainly a nice player and certainly a guy that will help what was a beleaguered Broncos defense last year. But yes, you have to believe that their heart is set on landing one of those top four quarterbacks. I mean, right now their quarterback depth chart reads Jared Stidham and then Ben DiNucci. And I have a hard time believing that the Broncos are comfortable going into the season with those two as their quarterbacks. And so you have to feel like there's a competition between Denver and Minnesota over quarterback number four in this draft, because after quarterback number four, I think it's a fairly decent fall off to the next tier of guys. So it'll be fascinating to see that little battle as it plays out on Thursday night between Denver and Minnesota.
Okay. Is 13 going to be a lucky number for the Las Vegas Raiders? There is a new infrastructure in place there. They are doing some great things right now. Hondo Carpenter from the Las Vegas Raiders Insiders podcast made this pick. And where did he go?
Yeah, cornerback Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Vegas certainly putting a lot of money and a lot of emphasis on rebuilding the defense. The Christian Wilkins signing, I think, was a great one, man. Pairing him with Max Crosby up front is going to be – they're going to be able to get after some quarterbacks. And now you take a corner like Terrion Arnold, who could be the best cover corner in the draft. Tremendous assets now for new head coach Antonio Pierce out there in Vegas.
Number 14, the Dome Patrol for the New Orleans Saints. Wesley Coleman is back making this pick for Houdat Nation.
Yeah, so they go with offensive tackle Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. Certainly makes a ton of sense. And so Fashanu, another monster of a human being, big 6'7", 325-pound tackle out of Penn State. It makes a lot of sense for the Saints because they lost their two veteran tackles, Andres Pete and Cam Irving, and they're going to need a young buck to come in and replace them. And you get another huge, long tackle in Fashanu. Saints fans will obviously be eager to see him step in, probably be a guy that can take over that left tackle spot right out of the gate for New Orleans.
All right, let's go ahead to the Indianapolis Colts. They are next. All right, from the Horseshoe podcast, it is Drake Wally and Andrew Moore making this pick for their Indianapolis Colts.
So the Colts go with cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Here's a guy that really elevated his draft stock with a tremendous combine performance, ran in the low 4.3s. He also has clocked at actually under 4.3. So you get that type of speed, and he's got a guy with a little bit of length as well. And, you know, they need a corner in Indy, and he's an aggressive guy who can run. So it'll be interesting to see if he can elevate, right? You know, he played at Toledo, kind of a mid-major, and now he's got to step up to the NFL. That'll be the challenge. How does he do against the elite competition?
This was my draft crush. This is a guy that a team could go ahead and trade up for.
Yeah, there's going to be some competition for him, especially if there's a corner run, right? You know, you get Terrion Arnold going off the board, and maybe if you get somebody other than Mitchell go off the board, another one of those highly rated corners, you'll definitely probably see teams get into that mindset like, oh, we better go get our guy. And now that guy could be Mitchell.
All right, let's hit the Pacific Northwest. 12 Shades of Nay. It's Big Nay, Rajane Steele.
Yeah, defensive tackle Byron Murphy of the University of Texas. First interior defensive lineman to go off the board. And Seattle obviously needs help up front. Murphy is a guy I think has a huge ceiling and could be like one of those just three down tackles who can play the run, push the pocket to help get after the passer. He's going to have to be productive consistently. I think one of the things at Texas that frustrated people a little bit was just for a tremendous athlete, there were times, right, where he wasn't as productive as people thought he could be. You know, he's a guy that obviously you get in to Seattle, man, with new head coach Mike McDonald, a defensive guy. And if he can get Murphy's motor running, he's going to be a great pick.
16 down, 16 to go. We will be back for this second half here on the Fans First Sports Network, second annual NFL contributor draft. Stick around. right, we are back on the Fans First Sports Network. It is our second annual NFL Draft. Back for another year. Check out the Fans First Sports Network for all of your needs, not just your team, but everything else. And a fantastic NFL affiliate. I am so proud of what Kevin Smith does there, as well as Jeff Hartman, Rob Stats Guerrera, Wesley Coleman, Scott Kennedy, the homies, Andrew Wilbar, and Jeremy Betts as well from the Steel Curtain Network. They do a lot of great stuff. If I did forget anybody, I do completely apologize. You will be hearing more and more great voices as we go. Year number two is underway, and it's something special that we're building here at FFSN. Kevin, 17. Here we go. The Jacksonville Jaguars are up next with a pretty cool pick.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, who could be the most polished all-around corner in the draft because of his ability to play both zone and man, and coming out of that Nick Saban system at Alabama, obviously a smart, versatile player. Some people thought maybe he'd go a little bit later in the first round, but if you're Jacksonville with a need at corner and you see some of those top corners start going off the board, then, man, jump up and get your guy.
Special thanks to the Jaguar Report, John Shipley. And when you talk about a guy named Kool-Aid, all you have to say is, oh, yeah. And is that a refreshing pick, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, it is, Brian. Oh, yeah. Right, Brian, there's probably like younger people listening that don't even know that reference. Isn't that depressing?
You can go to YouTube and check out an old Kool-Aid commercial, and this giant red pitcher of Kool-Aid would break through walls and fix any party. That was the great thing. He fixed the party by giving refreshing Kool-Aid to drink. But then the next thing you know, now you have to put up more drywall or brick.
Take a wild stab here that was not meant to be literal. The giant pitcher of Kool-Aid running through the wall yelling, oh yeah. But hey, you never know.
Sorry, the chime came in. They wanted to stop our conversation.
Agreed.
But I love it. Let's go to Brandon Harriet running through the jungle here. The Cincinnati Bengals. Big man here.
Yeah, the Bengals breaking some hearts in Pittsburgh by taking offensive tackle Amarius Mims, University of Georgia, 6'8", 340, and ran the 40-yard dash in just over 5 seconds. Inexperienced guy, only made 8 starts at Georgia, but boy, you want to talk about potential. He's a guy who might need some seasoning, got to work on his technique a little bit, but as a raw prospect, amazing athlete at that size, the potential that he has is limitless.
All right, it's time for number 19. It's the Los Angeles Rams. Our friends from Rams Up made this great pick. Let's go ahead and see what we got.
Yeah, the Rams taking edge rusher Leiatu Latu. And if I butchered that name, I apologize. You know, he might be the most polished pass rusher from the edge in the draft. Guy's got a great repertoire of pass rush moves. Maybe ahead of Dallas Turner in terms of just sort of like his pro readiness. You know, there are some concerns, however, about a neck injury that he suffered when he was actually at Washington before he transferred to UCLA. Whether or not he gets a clean bill of health and how confident teams are with that will likely affect his draft stock. But if you're the Rams and you got to compete with the 49ers, you want to be able to get after Brock Purdy, and he's a guy who can do it.
Special thanks to Rams Up. Mark Burns and Tom Kortz doing a fantastic job with our LA Rams affiliate. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers are now completely on the clock. Who do we got here?
Yeah, so the Steelers wind up taking University of Washington offensive lineman Troy Faltanu, who is a really versatile guy, can play all 5 line positions. And the rumor is that the Steelers like him as a center prospect, even though he didn't really play much center at Washington, predominantly played left tackle. The issue with him is going to be like, where exactly does he fit? At 6'3", there are some people who just don't think that his length is ideal for an offensive tackle. So do you talk about him kicking inside to guard? Steelers are pretty set at guard for the moment. So then that means he winds up at center, where he doesn't have a ton of experience. And so versatility is attractive. Physical, man. Physical dude. He's like an old school Steeler. He's a mauler. He doesn't play with a lot of finesse. He's a guy that just wants to kind of bury people up front. But, you know, will he be experienced enough to make the transition, or I should say, will his experience in making the transition to center be costly?
If the Steelers go with a Troy, that will be the third Troy drafted in the first round by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Troy Edwards in 99, Troy Polamalu in 2003, and then Troy Fautanu.
Well, hopefully he resembles Polamalu more than Edwards, right?
I can't say it better myself. Miami Dolphins are up next. Inside Leverage. We have a great affiliate with about five or six guys there doing fantastic stuff. Coach Mike made this pick.
Yeah, Dolphins going with LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. Man, they are stockpiling weapons in Miami. Waddle and Hill and Mostert, and giving Tua another dude just to, you know, stretch the field on the outside. Just speed there. Brian Thomas Jr., big, long receiver, really good vertical threat. And so, I mean, he's a guy whose speed on the outside would open up the middle of the field, get a little bit more space for Tyreek Hill to operate in. And so he would make a dangerous Miami offense even more so.
The Philadelphia Eagles, Broad Street, LinkedIn. Aiden Reed made the pick for the EAGLES Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, so the Philadelphia Eagles go with Iowa cornerback Cooper DeJean. I live fairly close to Philadelphia, surrounded by Eagles fans. I can tell you that they are all geeked up over this guy. And yeah, Cooper DeJean's an interesting prospect because some people think that he might fit more as a safety than as a corner. He's a scheme-specific guy. I think he really will excel in a zone-heavy scheme, and that's what new coordinator Vic Fangio is likely to install in Philadelphia. So DeJean is a guy who would probably fit great in Philly, maybe not so much in other places, and it'll be interesting to see how the Eagles use him. Do they use him exclusively at corner, or do they give him some looks at safety, maybe in some sub-packages as well?
All right, let's keep it going. David Stefano is back on the clock as the Vikings stockpiled picks. We talked about earlier that it kind of looks like the Vikings' fortunes will change as far as where they're drafting here. I think this is a pick that has been acquired in real life to help them move up in this draft, Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I agree. And so you never know, right, what might happen with this one. But if they do end up picking, right, Dave has them taking University of Illinois defensive tackle Johnny Newton, who is the reigning Big Ten defensive player of the year, a weight room monster. They had some video up of him bench pressing like 500 some pounds. You know, it's hard to move off the line of scrimmage. Doesn't have ideal size, but he makes up for it with his phenomenal strength. So he'd be a stalwart on the interior of that defensive line in Minnesota.
All right, the Cowboys Global Cast, Maud Bell and company. It's on the clock. The Dallas Cowboys are here. Where do they go in the Lone Star State?
Yeah, staying in state to pick up University of Texas wide receiver Adonai Mitchell, one of the two really good Texas receivers in this draft, with a little bit more size than his counterpart, Xavier Worthy, a little bit more of a physical receiver. And, you know, Dallas looking to replace some lost talent at the wide receiver position and give Dak Prescott, who's, you know, been making some noise lately about how, you know, he's not happy with his contract and is he going to re-sign in Dallas? Well, maybe bringing in a weapon like Mitchell will help keep him with the Cowboys.
24 down, 8 to go. Number 25 is on the clock here as we go to the Green Bay Packers. What do we got in Green Bay?
Yeah, we don't have a Packers affiliate here right now at FFSN. So actually, I made this pick for the Packers, and I took one of my favorite players in the draft, or at least in this area in the draft, in the 20s, Duke offensive lineman Graham Barton. Packers need line help. Barton is another guy whose versatility is going to be key for him. He can play tackle. He can play center. He had a 9.99 RAS score at the combine, the score they use to calculate a player's overall athleticism. You kind of add up his totals in all of the different metrics that you get tested for, the jumps and the sprints and the agility drills and all that, and you roll it up into one score, and his 9.99 scored in the 99th percentile, higher than any lineman in the entire draft. And Barton's got a little bit of nasty in him, and so trying to keep Jordan Love clean in Green Bay, he'd be a guy that the Packers would probably be able to insert into the lineup fairly soon.
From Green Bay to Tampa Bay, on the clock is Buccaneer Bay.
Yeah, so the Bucs opting for Penn State edge rusher Chop Robinson. All right, Brian, I'm going to give you a couple fun facts. Chop Robinson is one of 10 children, and at birth, Chop Robinson weighed 14 pounds.
Whoa!
So I think the toughest person in this entire draft is Chop Robinson's mother. 10 kids and a 14-pound, soon-to-be NFL, playing in the NFL son. So Chop Robinson, man, speedy edge rusher, great first step, had an excellent 10-yard split in the 40-yard dash, which for an edge rusher is really, really important. Didn't have a ton of sacks at Penn State, but he was in the top five in the entire nation in quarterback pressures. So, you know, he's a guy that obviously, you know, when he refines his moves a little bit better, is going to be a nice presence there on the edge.
My gosh, can you imagine how much money Mrs. Robinson paid in formula?
Mrs. Robinson paid in other ways as well, right?
Oh my gosh, let's just get the chime. No, real quick, Buccaneer Bay, our good friend Fletch, Andre Fletcher, made that pick. Check out Buccaneer Bay. Great podcast here on the Fans First Sports Network. All right, we are keeping it going, moving right along. Number 27, back for the second pick. They're getting this from the Houston Texans. It is the Cardinals update for the Arizona Cardinals. Jesus Garcia making the pick.
Yeah, so the Cardinals opt for Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham. Poor Kyler Murray, man, was running for his life last year behind a patchwork O-line in Arizona. So now, in this draft, you go, you know, you get probably the best receiver in the draft in Marvin Harrison. Now you get experienced linemen with tons of reps at the highest possible collegiate level in J.C. Latham from Alabama. So Cardinals doing some good work on the offensive side of the ball.
Time for Coast to Coast Bills. The Bills Mafia, they are on the clock and at the podium. Silas Whittle made this pick for Coast to Coast Bills. Let's see what we got, Kevin Smith.
Yeah, Bills going for Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. That'll make Dink Trinowell, my good buddy here in South Jersey, biggest Bills fan I know locally. It'll make him happy. They lost Mitch Morse, their center. Well, they didn't lose him. They let him go. So they now obviously have to fill that void. And so Jackson Powers Johnson, the Remington Award winner, is the nation's best center, goes to Buffalo.
All right, let's keep it on going. And coming up next, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, so interesting. The Lions are probably in like that position late in the first round where they can go best player available. And I mean, they're pretty good in the defensive secondary, but they're going to go for Nate Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson here. You look at Detroit's roster, you look at their depth chart, and with some of the moves that they made in free agency, they don't have any like glaring holes. They could use help in a couple of different spots. But being in, you know, having done what they did in free agency, they get an opportunity to just grab the guy that they feel is the best player. And so Wiggins is certainly a really talented corner. And obviously in the NFL these days with the emphasis on passing, you've got to be able to defend the passing game. Chicago would be going for Caleb Williams. Green Bay's already got Jordan Love. So you want to be able to defend the pass there in that division. And Wiggins is a good choice.
All right, like Wiggins, a really fast guy in this draft, like you said. Do you feel he's on the frail side being under 180?
I think that's something that obviously teams will have some concerns about, but you get him into an NFL weight room, let him play a lot of man-to-man on the backside of like 3-by-1 sets where you don't have to defend the run a whole lot. He'll be fine.
All right, gang, at Bleachers to Speakers for the Detroit Lions. Once again, it's June Whitfield and B. Foster. We're moving right along. All right, next in the draft, the Baltimore Ravens at number 30. Our friends at The Caw made this pick. Where are they going, KT?
They're going with the fastest player in the history of the draft. Xavier Worthy, the other wide receiver out of Texas, who clocked at 4.21 in the 40 at the NFL scouting combine. That is just a remarkable number. So, I mean, Baltimore, they lost Marquise Brown, and so they want to replenish that speed. They're going to do so and then some with Xavier Worthy.
Many thanks for Brandon Holthouse for making that pick for The Caw. Check them out on the Fans First Sports Network. My gosh, we are getting down to it, KT. It's number 31. Special thanks to the Gold Standard Network. Rob Stats Guerrera making this pick.
Yeah, San Francisco 49ers. My goodness, if they get this guy, I can't imagine the options that they will have on offense. This is Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia, a true Swiss Army knife in the passing game, who can play inside, play outside, can run every route in the route tree, can run after the catch, will block and bloody his nose. You can put him in bunch sets. You can run him on jet sweeps. I mean, to me, he's a kind of smaller version of Deebo Samuel, and a guy that the 49ers will find a myriad of ways to use in their creative offense.
Lots of weapons there for Shanahan.
Not a me first guy. I really think he fits perfectly everything that San Francisco wants to do.
It's the final pick of the draft in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the last pick in the first round, he gets the potential of having that fifth year option extension and big difference in money between being Mr. Last pick in the first versus first pick in the second. So the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs, going with Tyler Guyton. Big physical offensive lineman out of Oklahoma. They need to replace some of their dudes up front, getting a little long in the tooth there up front, lost a couple guys in free agency. And so protecting Patrick Mahomes will be a key element for the Chiefs, and they land big Tyler Guyton.
Special thanks to Chiefs Studios for making that pick. That's it. Lots of great analysis, KT. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing what happens in the draft. Let me ask you this. If there were no trades in the NFL draft, would you say that this is a pretty good look at what teams would be doing?
I think that the affiliates who made these picks obviously know their teams very well, understand their needs, did a good job of gauging talent based upon the mock drafts and the things that we see. Hey, we're all amateur GMs out here, just kind of trying to do our best. When we look at like how this all plays out against what's going to happen on Thursday night, you're right. It's not going to be close because the trades are going to reshuffle the board tremendously. But if there were no trades, I think that this would be a fairly accurate mock-up of what would actually happen.
Absolutely. So special thanks to everybody who made the picks. This is something that I am so glad that we were able to put together. So everybody that made those picks, great. We appreciate you. Got to say special thanks to FFSN's Jeff Hartman. He went ahead and ran this draft. He kept it moving. We got this done in less than 24 hours, KT.
Yeah, it was fun too, man. It's nice hearing from people all over the country, everybody chiming in. And, the draft is one of the most fascinating, I always call it America's best non-sporting event. And it was cool to talk to people about something that so many people are enthusiastic about.
Any final thoughts?
No, man, I'm done talking, man. Let's get it rolling. I'm ready to go.
All right. For KT Smith, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for Fans First Sports Network.